Welcome to Life Church. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
So we've been looking at evangelism over the last month, and so Nick shared with us about the Ethiopian eunuch. Do you remember that story? He talked about the one reaching one. And that was really clear and great. Last week we had Pete Clark with us, went through the gospel track with us, which was good as well. So tonight I just want to bring these 3 weeks to a close by talking to us, or teaching us this evening, really, about about really what happens when someone has said yes to Jesus. Like, what happens next? So much of all of our Christian life after we say yes to Jesus is incredibly important. And what happens then, the theological term of what happens to us once we say yes to Jesus, is we go on this journey of discipleship, like becoming like Jesus. The theological word is sanctification. Sanctification means the progressive work of God to make a believer more like Jesus. That's the process that we go on. But the thing that I particularly want to challenge us about this evening as a Life Church church is that I believe that God wants us to be ready to position our lives in order that we might know what it is to nurture people around us. Jesus saves people, but there's this thing called the church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, that God has designed in such a way that we would know what it is to be disciples and make disciples, in order that we become exactly what God created us to be. And I just had a picture this week of what this kind of looks like. Those of you that are kind of gardeners, you will understand that in order for a small plant to become a big tree, like, there's a whole lot of nurture that needs to happen. Like, you need a small plant, it needs to be fed, it needs to be watered, it needs to be given light, it needs to be nurtured and looked after in order that it can progress and become the tree that God designed it to be. And really, if you don't remember anything else, just remember this kind of simple picture, that God wants Life Church to be a greenhouse of discipleship. He wants this environment, this church that you and me are part of, He doesn't want us to settle with a simple Sunday experience, yeah? Sundays are good. I enjoy Sundays. I'm pleased that you're here. Like, they do us good. There's something about the rhythm. It's a New Testament principle. On the first day of the week, the church used to come together. They would share a meal together. You can see it written about in the book of Corinthians. It's a biblical thing to have the rhythm of the week. But there is so much more that we need to give ourselves to in order that we can be disciples and make disciples. There's a verse in Proverbs 27, verse 17. And it says this: as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens and influences another. We will never be the disciples that God has called us to be unless we know what it is for our lives to rub against the lives of other lives in order that we might become all that God wants us to be. And that is even more so the case for people who are new to becoming Christians. And I feel that what in preaching this to you tonight, we talked about sharing, we talked about living the good news, we talked about sharing the good news. What I'm talking to us about this evening is, how do we nurture the gospel, this new birth in people? And it's like as if really that there's this sense that God wants to prepare us to be ready to be the people that will be disciples and will make disciples of others. Many of you have been saved for decades, yeah? Like, Johnny probably became a Christian like 100 years ago. Like, he's been a Christian all his life, yeah? He couldn't be 100 because he's not quite there yet. But But the point being is that many of us, we have been Christians for decades, like tens of years. And I think if you think back to when you first became a Christian, there was probably a person, or there was a group, or there were some people around your life that enabled you to pass through that part of your journey in order that you have become the person that you are today. Like, certainly in my life, I was in, my mum and dad were very brave. They were leaders of an AOG church in East Town. There was a large church, but there weren't many young people. So much to the horror of my father's elders at his church, he sent us to another church up the road. We went to the AOG church in Dargenham. I've told you that one before, haven't I? Dargenham, yes. And the amazing thing is, as I look back to those years, those formative years in my teenage years, like 35 years ago, I can tell you the names of the people that were around my church family at that time that loved me, that involved me, that took time for me, that actually were sacrificial in their lives towards me. They reprioritized their lives so that this kind of East End Cockney boy, Lucas, would. I used to wear a leather jacket, I used to have long hair, I used to listen to Bross and Nick Kershaw and the Eurythmics, yeah? These guys, they saw past all of that nonsense, and they saw in me a young man who ultimately had a desire to go on that journey to become more like Jesus. What they did is they nurtured the gospel in me. But let me tell you tonight, Live Church, there is a cost to doing that. There is a cost to it. It's not easy. Like, it's inconvenient to nurture someone and to encourage someone and take time to be with someone. It's not so straightforward. And I suppose tonight I want to shake myself. I want to shake all of you lovely people as well. And I want to say to you, listen, Life Church, like, God calls us forward into more than what we're experiencing, in as much as, like, God wants Life Church, all five Life Churches, he wants them to be greenhouses of discipleship, where the culture of the church, the priority of our time, the way that we relate to one another on a Sunday, but also beyond a Sunday, it's all set up that we understand that if we're going to move one another on this journey of following Jesus, there has to be time spent with one another. Iron sharpens iron. And in John chapter 1, a few verses here, just to show you that Jesus understood the importance of spending time with people if they were going to be discipled. In John chapter 1, there's a guy called Andrew, one of Jesus' disciples. It seems that the few verses that I'm going to read to you now, it was the first day he'd met Jesus. He'd never met him before. He meets him, and we see what Jesus does as he meets him. So John chapter 1, verse 35, listen to this, yeah? Context: Jesus is 30 years old, he's starting his ministry, he's just beginning to gather his disciples together. And this is what the Bible says. The next day, John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother and to tell him, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. Just two little things about that passage. The first thing is, the Bible says very simply there, and they spent that day with him. Jesus understood, and he could have been doing a lot of other things that day, yeah? Jesus was a busy man. But Jesus understood that if this young man, Andrew, was going to begin to understand who he was, that it was going to take the cost of spending a day with him. And as we read through the text, what we see is that as Jesus spends a day with him, that's a whole day, at least 8 hours, as he spends that time with him, what we see is that from that, Andrew goes and he says to his brother Simon Peter, he says, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah." And so Life Church, this evening, as we look at what it means to nurture the gospel, if we want this church to be a greenhouse of discipleship, where the environment and the spiritual temperature and the spiritual food, the time that we spend with one another, combines together in order that we become that version of ourselves that Jesus wants us to become, if we're going to do that, then we need to understand that there is sacrifice that needs to be made. It's not easy. It's not easy. And if anyone said to you that following Jesus and being a disciple and making disciple was easy, they were lying to you. There is a joy that we can experience as we follow him, as we surrender our lives to him. But Jesus said that we should count the cost as well. And there is a cost in order to see discipleship happen. Church planting is something that we've done as a church over the last 10 years. And when we look at the Apostle Paul, we see the Apostle Paul was totally into church planting. But more than that, the Apostle Paul understood that it was about nurturing people. That was the most important thing, nurturing people. And so on Paul's second missionary journey, in Acts chapter 16, he plants a church in Philippi. In Acts chapter 17, he plants a church in Thessalonica. In Acts chapter 18, he plants a church in Corinth. Impressive. 17, Philippi. 18, Thessalonica. 18, Corinth. Impressive. But the thing is, though, that Paul understood that it wasn't just enough to plant churches. Paul understood that it was about people. And I believe that Paul shows us, as followers of Jesus, some great strategy of what we need to do in order to nurture the gospel in others. Okay? So the first thing, three things here. The first thing we notice from Paul's ministry, the way that he nurtured others, is first of all, Paul gave himself. He gave himself. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, the church that he planted in Acts chapter 17. He writes to them in the period afterwards, and he tells them about the intensity of the discipleship nurture journey that he had with them. And it was intense. Listen to some of the vocabulary that Paul uses to describe the way that he gave himself to that church in order that it would be planted and it would be nurtured. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul writes, "Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our very lives as well." Two things to notice there. Paul compares his love and his discipleship that he gave to that new church, that new body of believers. First of all, he describes it the same as the intimacy that a mother has with her child when she nurses it and when she looks after it. And us men can understand that when we get the dig in the ribs in the middle of the night and the baby needs feeding, yeah, there's an intimacy that comes from nurturing a small child. And Paul was saying to them, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Okay? It wasn't something that was hands-off. It wasn't something that was done from a distance. It wasn't something that they only did when they felt like it, or they did it on one day of the week. What Paul was talking about in terms of the church that he planted in Acts chapter 17 was that when they were there, they gave themselves to those individuals. And then the second thing is that Paul said to them, he said, "We didn't just tell you about the gospel. We didn't just get one of Pete Clark's tracts out and go, 'Here, look, have that, read that, that will change your life.'" No, Paul says to them, he says, "We loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, the gospel, the good news, he said, but we were willing to share our very lives as well. Listen, it's easy to give one of these out. I mean, sometimes it's not easy, yeah? But it is. It's easy to give one of these out. Paul was saying, it's great to give those out, but he was saying, listen, I gave myself to you. I nurtured you. I poured myself into you, just like a mother nurtures a child. I gave myself to you. I shared my very life with you. And the question is, this evening, Life Church, is who will you give yourself to? Who will you give yourself to? Listen, I know all of you, like relatively well, okay? Maybe one or two not so well. I know all of you relatively well. Listen, let me tell you all this evening that you have something that you can give to others. Like you can give yourself to someone else and you would have good things to input into their lives. You would be able to encourage them. You would be able to pray with them. You would be able to maybe practically support someone. You can do that. And so Paul was saying, actually, it's not enough just to plant churches. You need to make sure that you nurture those in them. And the thing that me and Sarah have been challenged about in our own lives is that it's good to plant churches, and we thank God for the five churches that the team that we're part of have been able to plant over the last 5 years. And we're not planting a church this year. You know, if the Lord allows us, then next year we'll plant again. But more than that, it's important that we also plant life groups, yeah? Because life groups are the places where the nurture happens. It's where the sharing of life happens. If we want to be a greenhouse, an environment for discipleship, it happens around tables. It happens around food. It happens in coffee shops. It happens as we share, as we serve together, as we do life together. We started a life group in Tom and Lisa's house many, many years ago. And now we've handed the leadership of that over to Tom and Lisa. They're leading that life group. We attend it once every 2 weeks. And now we started a new life group at James and Faye's home. And don't worry, James and Faye, we're not going anywhere just yet. But at some point in the future, we'll do that one. We'll carry on with James and Faye's, but we'll plant another one as well. Because we understand as leaders that it's not just about planting churches. It's about planting discipleship groups, like sitting in a room together, reading the Bible, praying for each other, sharing food together. Yeah? They're small expressions of discipleship, of what it can mean to be disciples together. So Paul gave himself. Second thing, Paul prayed for them. He says in 1 verse 2, this is Paul. Who's he praying for? He's praying for the church that he planted in Acts chapter 17, yeah? So the first verse I gave you is we talked about Paul giving himself to them. Now, in this verse here, he's saying, what does he say? He says, we always thank God for you and continually mention you in our prayers. Paul knew what it was to pray for people. And you and me, we need to understand that if believers, young believers are going to grow and thrive and be encouraged, we need to pray for them. I have a list here in my journal of people I pray for. And I don't go through that list as much as I should. And some of you are on the list, not because you need my prayers, but because of what you do in the church. But it's important. Paul understood that it was important that we prayed for one another. He would pray that they would connect with other Jesus followers. I'm sure he prayed that against discouragement. He would pray that they would form good habits as they follow Jesus. He would pray for them that they would find their place in the body of Christ, that they would use the gifts that God has given to them. When you were first saved, when you became a Christian, there would have been people that prayed for you. And so now it falls to us, Life Church. If we're going to create this greenhouse of discipleship, prayer is an ingredient that will enable the greenhouse to nurture and to grow the discipleship that we need. Paul, when he prays for the church at Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, I fall to my knees and I pray. And he says, he prayed that he might strengthen you with power by his Spirit in your innermost being. Paul knew what it was to pray. So Paul gave himself, Paul prayed, and finally, the third strategy that Paul had in terms of people, he didn't just give himself to them and pray for them, but he walked with people. That's what we see. In Acts chapter 15, on the missionary journey that they were on, the Bible says, after some time, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing." See, Paul had a concern for new believers. So that challenges me in two ways. First of all, it challenges me, Lord, will you enable us to be a church where new believers come? Like, will you cause there to be a harvest of new salvation? Lord, let salvation come to this house, yeah? We need to pray that, but we need to act out of that as well. We need to respond to that in our own lives and ask the Lord to open those conversations and those opportunities, not to say people's no's for them, but to be simple presenters of the gospel. So first of all, that's the challenge, but so that we would have new believers. But secondly, like, are we willing? Are we willing to really give ourselves to new believers? Paul understood that the new believers needed that encouragement. You know, when new believers are part of our church community, we need to understand that they need that encouragement. Paul and Barnabas, they went back to each city where they had preached, where they planted churches. They went back and they went back to see how the new believers were doing. Yeah? If we're going to be this greenhouse, then there needs to be a sense that we, as followers of Jesus, we want to see how the new believers are doing. And we give ourselves to it. Again, I say that there is an element of sacrifice in discipleship. It means we can't always do what we want to do with all that we have. Sometimes we will have to be inconvenienced in order that we do what God is calling us to do. Inconvenience is part of discipleship. I believe there can be a joy in it, but I believe it can also be a challenge to us. So, final thing. When I was younger, when I was talking about the story of me, when I was in my teenage years in Dagenham, there were two people that helped me. Their names were Simon and Simon. And they were kind, they were considerate, and they really did do many acts of selflessness in order that Lucas could become the man that he became. And I'm incredibly grateful to them. I think the fact that I mentioned their names 35 years later shows you. Okay, but you know what, Life Church? Life Church needs Simons. It needs people who will be simply obedient and open their lives to others around them. If we don't open our lives to those around us, we will never be a greenhouse. Yeah? Now listen, some of you, you're thinking, I don't know how to do this. That doesn't matter at the moment. Okay, I believe the point of me sharing this message tonight is that we simply come to a position in our lives where, in terms of discipleship, we're able to say to the Lord, Lord, I make myself available to you. Okay, we're not going to knock this out of the park in 30 minutes on a Sunday night in Lim, yeah? But we can begin to come to a place in our lives where we say, Lord, I don't understand what this means entirely. I don't see how this will work in my life. I don't even know who you want me to open my life to or who might want to open their life to me. I don't know. But I think what the Lord is asking for us this evening is that we would just simply say, well, Lord, yeah, I am willing to do that. In the right context, around the right people, I am willing to pay the cost and seek to create that environment where people can grow and thrive and become all that you have called them to be. Lord, I believe that the decades of experience that you've given me in following you, you've not just given me that so that I'll just grow old and just talk about how good you are, but you've given that to me so that I can put that into someone else, yeah? So I was going to play a game of Simon Says tonight, because you know that game Simon Says. Simon says, put your hands on your head. So you just follow and you obey because Simon says, all right? So Simon says, three things that Simon says to you this evening. Okay, first of all, okay, these are really brief now. First of all, Simon, they took me to places where I would share spiritual moments of significance. They took me to conferences. They took me to something called GoFest 88, yeah? In my leather jacket and my long hair with me Walkman on and cassette tapes. Do you remember those? Cassette tapes, yeah, that's what we had, yeah? So they took me to places. They took me to meetings and conferences. And so what I'm saying to you tonight, Life Church, if we're going to be this greenhouse, if we're going to be like Jesus in terms of remember that text that we started with, John chapter 1? It's the Bible simply says that Jesus spent the day with them. I mean, how amazing is that? Jesus took time to be with them. Yeah, Simon says, who are you taking with you? Just simply, who are you taking with you? Maybe there'll be an opportunity for you to take someone with you to something. Not because you want to take them, but because actually you know it'll do them good. Yeah? And I remember being a 15, 16-year-old and this 21, 22-year-old guy's taking me to this place. And I just remember thinking, why on earth have you brought me here? Like, I'm having a great time, but seriously, you want me with you? But they did, because they saw something in me. And they wanted to create an environment where I would grow. So taking people with us. Second thing, eating. Like, they invested thousands of pounds in me as a teenager. There was this thing called McDonald's that just opened up in Romford in Essex. And we would spend lots of time there. Like, they included me. They took me for meals. They invited me to their home. Like, they were kind to me. That's what they did. And in doing that, they nurtured me and discipled me. I'm really looking forward to our life group on Tuesday. Like, seriously, the list on the WhatsApp group is wonderful. It's going to be like a Golden Corral buffet, but at James and Faye's home. It's going to be amazing. So we will share food together, and we will talk, and it's going to be good. That's an important part of discipleship. So eating, showing, third thing. They taught me a skill. Simon, one of the Simons, taught me how to play the bass guitar. Yeah? Now, the thing is, I'm not bitter about it, but I was only allowed to play the bass guitar at Life Church for about the first 5 weeks. And then someone else learned to play the bass guitar, and I was sidelined, and I've still not quite got over it, yeah? But he showed me a skill. He took time to teach me something, and actually then let me play rather than he play, because he saw that was good for me, yeah? Just look for those opportunities to show, to nurture, to serve alongside someone. And then finally, they would challenge me. They would have direct conversations and questions with me about my journey, about my walk with Jesus, about how I was doing, about was I praying, was I reading my Bible. And they would ask me these questions often, and they would encourage me, and they would keep me accountable. Yeah? That's what they did. They would challenge me. And so, again, like I put it to us this evening, like, are we going to be willing to take? Are we going to be willing to eat? Are we going to be willing to show? Are we going to be willing to challenge? I say all of these things because we believe that the gospel transforms lives. We can't save anyone, yeah? We can't save anyone. Only Jesus saves people. But he has this thing called the ecclesia, the church, the body of Christ, which he calls people into. And then it's up to us as the church to operate in a way that honors him, yeah? And those things that we talked about with the Apostle Paul, about giving ourselves to people and praying for people, those ingredients, they're like food and sun and nourishment to discipleship. If there's going to be a greenhouse over Life Church, it will happen because the people of God start to do things like that. Yeah, let's just pray together, shall we? Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, these things are partly just about the culture that we have as a church. I think Life Church, in my humble opinion, I think we have some good elements of our culture. I think there's lots to be encouraged about. But in saying the things I said tonight, what I'm asking us is just to be open to opening our lives up further, really, to the opportunities that the Lord might give us to practice discipleship more than maybe more than we are doing. And as I said earlier, I'm not saying that this week needs to be any different to any other week. Maybe it will be. Maybe you'll just have your eyes and your ears open to those opportunities to sow, to encourage, to pray, to give yourself to others in a sacrificial way. But what I'm asking you for this evening is just this moment in your heart and your spirit, just to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm available to you. Lord, if you want me to be a nurturer, then Lord, in this Life Church greenhouse, I'm available. I make my time available. I make my home available. I make my resources available. I make that time that I might really see as my time, I make that available to you. And we're just saying, Lord, I am willing to walk a road of joyful sacrifice in order that I might be part of creating an environment where the gospel isn't only lived and shared, but it's nurtured as well. Where our young people and our young adults are nurtured, yeah? Where our peers are nurtured. Where new people that drop into our community or around our lives are nurtured. Yeah, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to count the cost tonight. We don't say these things lightly. It does cost to follow you and to be a disciple and to be discipled. But Lord, I thank you for the Bible says that as you approached the cross, you did it because of the joy that was set before you. You saw all that was on the other side. And Lord, I pray that even in the moments where we might selfishly feel this costs us something because we're slightly inconvenienced in life, like we have to kind of do things a little bit different in order that our lives connect with the right people at the right time. Yeah, Father, I pray that there'll be that sense of seeing that that's worth it because, Lord, you're worth it. And Lord, tonight, I pray that pray for my friends, that each one of us will just come to that point where we just say, Lord, here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. Yeah, Lord, just help that to be a position that we choose to take. That position of availability and surrender to you.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.